So in our pilgrimage, I think it was almost universal among the pilgrims. I mean, obviously you have the holy places in Jerusalem that were pretty amazing. But one of the favorite places of our pilgrims was in Galilee and around the Sea of Galilee. And there was just, it's hard to describe, but it's almost like there's just, the area has been sanctified in a certain sense by Jesus, just him being there. And one of the things that's different about Galilee is that it's probably pretty much the same thing. I mean, they have, like, the towns are, you know, have modern buildings and things like that. But really, the countryside and everything is really like it was in the time of Jesus. I mean, the Sea of Galilee, I mean, it's still this, you know, it's really not a sea. It's just like a big lake. I think it's only like, I don't know, it's like 50 miles all the way around it. You know, so it's, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's smaller than like the Great Lakes, obviously, you know, the United States. So it's really, it's not really, it's a sea in really kind of only the traditional sense of the term. But the thing is that, you know, when you go to Jerusalem, Jerusalem's been destroyed, I don't know how many times, like four or five times since the time of Jesus. And so there, I mean, you know, kind of the sacred places and stuff like that, and you can kind of get a flavor and a feel for it. And even Bethlehem, you know, it's really, I mean, they have the basilica built over all the holy sites and things like that around Bethlehem, you know, the cave and the milk grotto and all those other things. But Galilee is, it's like it was in the time of Jesus. So again, this idea of walking in the footsteps of Jesus and Mary is really, it was just a lot more tangible, if you will, in terms of what that was like. So as I was thinking about, again, this understanding of this total consecration to Jesus through Mary, and with Mary and in Mary, in her yes, how we are taken up into that. Again, starting with that moment of the Annunciation, may it be done unto me according to thy word. It really becomes that let it be done unto me according to thy word, it really becomes the, you know, kind of the model for us in terms of what does that total self-giving look like? What does that complete surrender to Jesus, what does that look like? But in order to be able to do that, one of the things that is really incumbent upon us, that is really necessary for us, is for us to have faith. And ultimately, faith is a gift. But there's also, in a certain sense, there's also a participation. It's not like all gifts that are given. Remember, I was talking in the last conference about receptivity and being able to receive a gift. Yes, faith is a gift, but you also have to receive the gift. So on the person who has faith, you have to be open to it. You have to be receptive, actively receptive to that gift of faith. And because, again, talking in terms of our analogy of gift giving, I'm sure we've all received gifts during the course of our lifetime. And there's probably some gifts that we received that we were really, really excited about. It's like, oh, how did you know? I want a new iPad. And so what do? You use the iPad. You use it all the time. It's like, oh, man, you know, I this is awesome. But then there's probably some gifts that maybe you weren't quite as grateful for. It's like, you know, maybe, and I'm sure they were given out of love, but maybe the kids give you some perfume that smells like turpentine and it burns when you put it on. It's like, it's like, oh, thank you. You know, or maybe, you know, who knows, you know, but I'm sure there's, I always tell this story, but is when I was an assistant at St. Mary's, we had there was a priest that was living in residence for us, and he received a Christmas gift for Christmas, and it came in like it was wrapped up in brown paper. And so he opens it up, and inside is a wrapped gift. And he's like, "Oh!" And there's a card in the gift, and it says, "Dear Father Z, you know, you're the best, you know, Bobby and Susie or whatever." And so he goes, "Oh, they remember me as like from a former parish and stuff." So he opens it up, and inside there's like one of those little tags on the gift. Dear Bobby and Susie, you're the best. You know, Jack and Diane. So let that be a lesson to you. Regift responsibly. But, oh, gee, thanks. What should we do with it? I know. Let's give it to Father Z. He'll love it. You know, so the gifts, so in terms of faith, in terms of those spiritual gifts that we have, there's so many parables that Jesus talks about that, like the parable of the talents, you know, about not only receiving a gift of something that we didn't earn, something that we didn't deserve, but there's things that we can do to help foster that gift, increase that gift, and grow the gift. So remember the parable of the talents, you know, they're all given, you know, like, you know, a sum of money, 5 talents or something like that, you know, one talent. I don't remember how many talents it was, but it was a huge sum of money, more than they could ever make in their whole lifetime. The one goes out and trades with it, and he makes 10. Another goes out and trades and makes 5. Then the other one, what does he do? He goes, digs a hole in the ground, and he buries it. Okay, so they all have access to that gift. But once they have it, what do you do with it? So this is where, when we think about faith then, is faith is really, it's that living relationship that we have with Jesus. Faith is not just simply believing in a set of propositions. It's not just believing in, and it's not just it's really about a relationship with Jesus. Because it is in and through Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, that we have access to our Father, and that's all in the power of the Holy Spirit. So faith is something that is, it's essential for us in that spiritual life. And it is that faith that enables us to surrender ourselves because we believe. Because we believe in the witness of the one that has told us. Because we believe in our Lord's love for us. So that faith is this essential part of this. And so we read it here in the gospel today. You know, what does Jesus say? He's kind of cool. Again, this gospel about Simon and Jude comes from. Where are they at? They're around the Sea of Galilee, and there's some, like, I don't know if I'd call them mountains, but they're like big hills there. And it says, Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When he came, he called his disciples to himself. And so he calls them, he invites them into a relationship with him. Come, follow me. And so they've probably started to see the miracles. They've probably heard his preaching. Their hearts have maybe been touched by what he's saying and what he's doing. And they believe that he is the chosen one, that he is the Messiah, the one who has come into the world. So, come follow me. Again, it's not, come do this, okay, do these commandments and you'll be good, okay? No! Come be in a relationship with me. Come follow me. Live with me. And so what does this faith then enable them to do? Well, they begin to see all kinds of things that are happening in and around this area of Galilee, okay? So Jesus, as you know, he gets rejected in Nazareth. They're like, you know, he starts telling them, it's like we don't want this guy. And so he ends up, he kind of packs up and he moves down into the area of around what is known as Capernaum. And so he's living there. Capernaum was a sea. It was a fishing village right on the sea. This is kind of interesting historical there's Jesus curses several towns in that area because of their lack of faith. And he says, "Woe to you, Bethsaida, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Capernaum. If the miracles worked in you had been done, in other places, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. I think it was in Tyre and Sidon, which were pagan country." So he curses them. And so those villages are just ruins now. There's nobody that lives in those villages. I mean, they're gone. So apparently it worked. So Jesus is hanging out in Capernaum, and Capernaum is where Peter's from. And Peter actually, I never thought about it this way, but I guess it kind of makes sense that they have the ruins of the house they believe that was St. Peter's. And it was actually a pretty big house. They have like all these little places where all the fishermen stayed. And then like Peter's was, and so Peter's house was actually large. So he may have been actually a pretty wealthy man. And you think about it, he does. He's got a couple boats. He's got hired men. And that probably is what enabled him to go traipse around the countryside with Jesus and have his family that was still being taken care of for that. Okay, so Jesus goes down to so he works the miracle in Cana in Galilee, and while he's there in Cana, there's a nobleman from Capernaum. He's got the son, that's sick and he's dying, and he's at the point of death, and he comes to plead with Jesus for him. But it is that faith. He believes that Jesus can do this. And so Jesus, he says, don't worry, your son is because you have believed, because you have faith, your son will be healed. And so going down in, when he moves into Capernaum, there's a traditional place where the synagogue was, and Jesus cast a demon out of it. So through that faith, he's healing the sick. Through that faith, he's casting out demons. Other diseases. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. So what does he do? Heals her. So through this encounter of faith, and so through this belief in Jesus, these things, these miraculous things are starting to happen. And so as a part of that total consecration and a part of that total surrender that we have, and through that faith in Jesus Christ, one of the things that is going to happen in our life is that's meant to happen in the ordinary way of Christian conversion is that those demons that we struggle with are going to be cast out. Those diseases and illnesses that we experience, most especially those spiritual wounds, are going to be healed. And so it is through this faith in Jesus and to that surrender to him that facilitates and enables these things to happen, and ultimately for us to have that freedom of heart. Through the power of Christ. That's something that we want to ask ourselves. Do we believe that Jesus can heal us? Do we believe in the power of his word? Do we believe? And have we ever asked? What does this father do? He goes up and asks, "Hey, my son's dying. Can you heal him?" There's a story of the man whose son has a demon. What does the guy do? He goes up and he asks Jesus. So part of the faith is having that total surrender to God and having the courage to ask. To ask for the gift of the Spirit, to ask for his love, to ask for a deepening faith, to ask for healing, to ask that those demons be cast out. If you think about that, our identity as the spiritual children of God, children do not hesitate to ask. Please, and they don't just ask once. "Can I have this toy?" "No." "Okay, thanks." "Mom, please. Pretty please, I'll clean my room, please." "No. You got plenty of toys at home." But Mom, I don't have this one. Please, Mom, please. No. But Mom, I really, really want it. Please. No. So then you go to Grandma's.
Grandma, can I have this toy? I really like, I've been really, really good.
Okay. They don't stop asking. What do we ask for in faith? And faith is not simply believing that Jesus can do something for us, but it's believing that he will do something. It's believing in his love for us and his tender, his merciful care for us, and believing that he will. That when we pray in faith with and for someone, that Jesus is going to act in that person's life. That we have the confidence because we've surrendered our will to his. And that we have that willingness to be fools for Christ. That maybe sometimes when we ask, maybe nothing happens. But we don't stop asking. Because that faith gives us that relationship with him. Some of the other miracles that that Jesus was doing, you know, the miraculous catch of fish, you know, when he gets into Peter's boat and he's preaching the gospel, says, put out in the deep. And it's not the time of the day for fishers go out at night, and they go in the evening when the fish are active. Here's the middle of the day, it's hot. Fish are way down deep where the water's cool. And this guy's sitting in my boat. He's not a fisherman. He's a carpenter. What does he know about fishing? Okay, I've seen you do some pretty amazing things. If you're just telling you, Lord, we worked all night. We didn't catch anything. We're not going to catch anything now. Hey, guys, we got a lot of fish. Help! So that miracle, what does it do? It elicits faith from him. And when he gets all settled down, he's like, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Jesus is like, I know who you are. I know what you've done. I know what's happened to you in your life. And I still choose the calming of the storm. They're out in the, and that was one of my favorite things. We got to do a boat ride. I could have spent all afternoon out on that boat. I wanted to kind of test my faith, you know, see like if I could walk on water, but they didn't stop. I was like, darn it. That would have been kind of fun. But anyway, so we're out in this boat. It's beautiful. The water is just kind of this beautiful, and I think it changes colors depending upon the sky and stuff like that, but it's this beautiful aqua green color. And it was just the day that we went out. It was just amazing. And we're out there praying the rosary and just, you know, thinking about meditating on the things that happened. It happened here. But they have that storm. And Jesus is it comes walking by and they're like, help, Lord, save us. Or no, they're scared. Okay, there's two storms. There's one where Jesus is in the boat with them, and that's the one where they're, help, Lord, save us. Like, what are you worried about? I'm in the boat with you. Be quiet. Like, oh, you have little faith. Then there's the other one with Peter, you know, where that's the one where they think that he's the ghost. Like, ah! So Peter, okay, if it's really you, Lord, tell me to come walk on the water. Okay, come on. And I love Peter. Like, I think he's like so much like me because he's like, he always does things and then like thinks about them afterwards. You know, so here he is. It's like, okay. So he gets out of the boat. He jumps out of the water. He's like, woohoo, hey, guys. The wind starts blowing. He's like, oh, Lord, I'm drowning. Jesus pulls him up out of the water. He's like, why did you doubt? I'm right here. I'm in a relationship with you. Don't you trust me? Feeding of 5,000. You know, and there's, again, they're up on the hill. You know, you got the grassy area up there. The place, the church of the multiplication of loaves. It has a beautiful vista because it overlooks the shore and down, you can see down the Sea of Galilee. You can see for miles and miles and miles. It's amazing. Where are we going to get enough? You know, even with 100 days wage, we wouldn't have enough for all of them to have a little bit. What does Jesus say to them? Or Jesus says to them before that, you give them something to eat. They're like, where are we going to get enough food? Like, you give them something to eat. Well, we don't have any, you know, even 100 days wages, even a little bit. You got 5 loaves and 2 fish, this kid here. Have him sit down. He multiplies it. Again, eliciting faith. Those are bringing about faith. And so all of those miracles that happen, they're really all about faith. They're either about a response to faith or about eliciting faith. And one of my prayers, I believe, Lord, that I think it was the father of the child with the demoniac. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe that you can do this, but I'm weak. I struggle. And so in terms of the, okay, so having that kind of that background of the places that Mary went with Jesus and all those places, walking in his footsteps and all those parables and all of those teachings and all of those miracles that were worked there. What does that mean? When going again all the way back to our moment of the Annunciation up in Nazareth, what does Mary say? Well, Mary, again, she has no knowledge that what is being told is the truth, but she believes. How do we know that we should believe? Because when she went in haste then, when she responds to God's word, pregnant with Jesus, she gets on a, jumps on her donkey and, you know, goes up to the hill country near Jerusalem. It's on the other side of Jerusalem. So it would have been, you know, for all the way from Nazareth, it probably would have been, I think it's like in donkey journey terms, I think it's like 6 days that Mary would have spent on a donkey. Okay, again, using that 22 kilometers. So if you go up in the north from Galilee and Nazareth all the way down to Jerusalem and a little bit outside of there, the hill country around there, then you see that this is, you know, it would have been about 6 days. You know, for a single pregnant young woman, you know, to be on a journey like that, it probably would have been pretty dangerous. Local tradition has it that St. Joseph went along with her. But what does Elizabeth say when Mary's greeting sounds in her ears? The infant leaps in her womb with joy and is going, woohoo, Savior's here, awesome. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the sound of your greeting, the infant leaped in my womb with joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you through the angel would be fulfilled. Mary believed and conceived first in her heart and then in her womb. So for us, we must believe as Mary did. We must have that faith of the Blessed Virgin. We must ask for that gift so that we too can believe, so that Jesus may be conceived in our hearts and in our lives. Because it is through that faith that Mary enters into this relationship with Jesus as his mother. And so through our faith, our belief in him as the Son of God, we enter into that relationship, that we become a member of his body through faith. And it is that faith then that leads us to the sacrament of baptism, where we're washed clean. It is that faith that enables us to receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity, to see that it is more than just simply a piece of bread, but what it truly is, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. It is faith that enables us then to go out and preach the good news. It is faith that enables us then to do the things that Jesus did. Do we believe that Jesus will work through us? Do we believe that Jesus, if we lay hands on somebody, that they will get better? Do we believe in that? Because he said it was true. He said he was going to do that. Do we believe? I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. But believing means that we have to take a risk. I can't tell you how many times I've laid hands on people and asked them, "Are you feeling better?" "No." "Does it mean I'm going to stop?" "Nope." I can't tell you the number of times that I've prayed for somebody. Their suffering was not relieved. Maybe grew worse. "Am I going to stop?" "No." But it is faith that does enable us to. But there have been times when I've prayed over people and they have gotten better. There have been times where I've prayed for something that's come about. But it is faith that enables those things to happen. It is faith that then enables that gift to spread. It is faith that enables us to build up the kingdom of God. Because we live in that relationship with Jesus. We live in that relationship of love. Jesus, first and foremost, wants us to know and to understand and to experience that we are loved, that we are children of God. But through faith, he also wants us to be instruments to go out into the world. Because the gift that we have been given is not simply for ourselves. And in terms of the Legion of Mary, that's why we go out. That's why we do apostolic work. The main function of the Legion of Mary is the sanctification of the individuals, the growth and holiness of the members. The apostolic work that we do, the going out and doing things, that's simply as an effect of the life of prayer and faith that we lead. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And it is the faith of Mary that provides the perfect response to the word of God. May it be done unto me according to your word. That complete surrender of our life. And again, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we have to take a risk. And sometimes we don't necessarily understand it all. I know when I was discerning my vocation to the priesthood, and I was really struggling with it, because I'd always had in my heart this idea that I was going to get married. I always had this in my heart, this idea of having children. I always had this in my mind that was just part of God's plan for me. I never questioned it. But I had to step out in faith. It's like, Lord, I don't quite understand this. Lord, I don't know how, if I can be happy doing this. Lord, this really isn't what I wanted, what I had in mind. But like Peter, it's like, okay, I'll put my net out. But that faith is required. And I'm not holding myself up as an example of faith. I mean, I have maybe one or two moments of faith in my whole life. You know, but the thing is that when I have in my life, when I have responded in faith, oh my goodness. You know, a few years ago I had an opportunity to go visit a place that I might have worked. And it was cool. It was neat. I have my degree in engineering, so it was, and the things that they were doing. But I came away from there just with a profound consolation in thinking that this is wonderful work. I know the people that work here are wonderful, and they do awesome things. But I'm so glad that I'm doing what I'm doing now. Thank you, Lord, for that gift of my vocation. It is wonderful. Not always easy. But it is wonderful. So faith. And that faith of Mary that enables us to be in relationship with Jesus, that faith that enables us to surrender our hearts to him, may it be done unto me according to your word. So let us really, really pray in a special way today for that gift of faith. Let us pray for that outpouring, that unleashing of that gift of faith. So that as that faith in us that is deepened, as that faith in us is activated, that we may be prepared then to go out in faith and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ.